This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting on October 15th.
Amy Richter is our secretary. You'll be hearing from her more later. Yu is our president, and she runs the assembly meeting. I'm just going to kind of scan the table. Brenda, would you like to stand up and just say who you are?
I'm Brenda Wicks. I'm the assistant chief of graduate life
and graduate school. Okay. Ari, do you want to say a quick intro?
I'm Ari. I'm standing from the office assembly.
And Yuli?
Hi, Yuli Clay, office assembly.
And Yuli's our clerk, so she takes care of all our minutes. We appreciate that immensely. Let's see, Kate. And we'll be having some other guests join us soon, and we'll have them introduce themselves as they get up to speak to us. So another thing that we did at the first meeting, which I think worked pretty well, rather than have everybody go around the table and introduce yourselves, I think it would be a great thing to do, but would take some time. And so instead, how about you just turn to somebody next to you and introduce yourself, say what field you're from, and hopefully you're sitting next to somebody different this time, so you'll meet somebody new. Go ahead and take a minute to do that.
Hi, Michelle. I've got the sign-in sheet.
Hi. I think we've got plenty of chairs on the inside.
Yes.
Yeah, feel free. Okay, we'll bring the meeting back to order, please. Can I have everyone's attention again? All right, good. I hope you're getting to know one another. Excellent. I saw someone else walk in. Kent, we were doing just quick introductions. Would you like to stand and introduce yourself? Yeah, just introduce yourself to everybody. That was great. So Kent and Brenda often come to our meetings, and we understand when their schedules are too busy and they can't make it, but we appreciate you guys coming whenever you can. So thank you. So next item of business, we'll move on to open forum. This is when Anyone can raise their hand, speak up if you have something to introduce to the group or announcement to make about an event or a concern on campus, a concern from your field.
I'll introduce myself. My name is Ed. I'm here on behalf of the Field of Genetic Development. I'm also the representative for GPSA, the College Town Neighborhood Council.
Sure.
So if anybody has any issues with you or anybody who knows this is College Town, we meet once a month and we talk about issues like the College Town Neighborhood Statement, such as College Town. But notably, in the next year, we're going to be talking about issues that students want to improve in College Town. So I'll probably talk to Michelle and have an email forwarded out that you guys can send off to your field. But if there's anything you want to grab from afterwards, just let me know and I'll put that on the agenda for the next session.
Okay. And Ed, by no fault of your own, you didn't go up to the microphone, and it's, like I said, no fault of your own. I didn't mention it. But from now on, if you get up to speak, I'd ask that you use the microphone because we had some issues with sound the last meeting and people couldn't hear each other. So we'll try to use that.
Yes?
Please do.
Hi, I'm Alonzo. I'm Jonathan. By profession, I'm a researcher. By passion, I'm a researcher. The first time I'm going to run a meeting.
Thank you. Mario, you have an announcement? Great. And then Nick after that. Sounds good. So before you get started, Andy, for those of you who aren't aware, there was a retreat for the assembly members, and one of the ideas that came forth from the retreat was having a trivia night at the Big Red Barn. And so that's something we're going to look to try to schedule pretty soon as a way to bring grads together. We know that grads are usually able to get down to the Big Red Barn, at least for TGIS, so maybe we can get them for a trivia night too. Not the end of the
please be aware of our continued assessment, and if you have issues or interest in the Kansas Code of Conduct, you can bring it to me, you can bring it to the school committee.
Yes. Thanks.
My name is David Crocker. I'm representing chemistry, but I'm also serving this year on the transportation advisory committee. So they had their first organizational meeting on December 19th. That was before I was appointed to the committee. So it was really just a brief organizational meeting. Got the organization done. But the first really meeting is going to be on October 26th. So if anybody has issues involving bus routes, bike routes, walking paths, how you get from where you live to where you work, to where you work as a graduate student. The committee is tasked with basically inviting the university assembly and transportation issues 6 to 12 months before anything is implemented. So if you have any long-term ideas that you think would be really good to implement, we have serious issues of how to implement them now. Please send me an email to my net ID is DL42. And otherwise, you can just come chat with me after the meeting. It's a small committee, and we report directly to the University Assembly. There's, I think, three presidential running on the board. There's a lot of people that actually want to give you guys that information. I'm going to talk. So, let me know if you have any.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, so you all have gotten a number of announcements tonight, and from people who have asked for your comments and suggestions, we understand that sometimes it's a little bit difficult to remember things at this time. We're working on getting the council list updated on the website, and on that council list we'll have a listing of who's serving on what committees. And so if you come up with ideas later on, go to the GPSA website, look for the council list. It'll bring up a spreadsheet with people's names, with their fields, and with what committees they're working on. And if it's not completely up to date, it's pretty close, and we'll work on getting it completely up to date really soon. Okay? Do we have any other items for open forum? Okay. So with that, we'll move on to the executive updates, and we'll begin with you, Yu.
Hello, everyone.
Speak really quickly.
Okay. I guess my brief update is on the collaboration with Well Medical School. Of course, there are a lot of inputs needed from Cornell Ithaca campus as well. Because several weeks ago, I did a solicitation of interest, but I guess it's too general. Now it is focused more towards the biomedical engineering students, long program of healthcare administration, and probably vet school, both the practitioners and the PhD students. Those focus groups will work closely to put together probably seminar series or student presentation or some form of collaboration with Well Medical students. If your fields have some relationship or connection or some interest in this topic, please contact me and have your input here. We also have a link with undergrad students because there are a lot of pre-med students. So if you have any kind of idea or interest, please contact me. That's my update.
Okay, from my place, as vice president, I'm also the communications chairperson for the GPSA, which means I have a communications committee. And there's actually a lot going on in terms of communication. So I've got a couple of people that I'm really excited to have on my group. If anyone else is interested, just a couple things that we'll be working on. The GPSA Info Listserv, as usual. We're collaborating with the Cornell Chronicle on getting some grad news in the Chronicle. And also the Graduate Community Initiative Working Group has a communications division within that committee, and we'll be working on some things through that. So contact me if you're interested in serving on that committee.
Okay, my name is Amy Richter. I'm a chemistry grad student, and I'm the secretary, which means that I basically get to try and hunt you all down and get you on committees that have asked for graduate student representation. So, as I keep knocking over the recorder here, what has been going on is we've been trying to fill all of the committees that have asked for graduate student representation. And I have a list here that I'm going to hand around of ones that are not filled as of yet and that are looking for representation. A couple that are not as self-explanatory, we have the Graduate School Academic Integrity Board. It's a collection of eight names of students that the grad school is looking for. So if there's a issue of academic integrity that gets appealed based on the grad school's decision, they would like eight students' names to pull from to re-review those items. And we're specifically looking for people right now in the biological sciences and humanities because they want two students from each one of the general areas. There's also several GCI committees. So the GCI is a committee or working group, I should say, is up and running. And they are forming three committees on career services, housing, programming, family, and student life. And if you have any questions on here, put that you'd like me to contact you. If you put your name on here, I will be contacting you about possibly serving on this committee. And I'm also going to repass around the sign-in sheet because I believe there were a few of you that came in late and didn't sign in. Please sign in so that we can keep track of who's here and who's not so that we know that your fields are being represented.
Okay, and one last thing that I forgot to mention. In particular, for the communications committee, we're looking for someone who's computer savvy. So if that's you, it's definitely not me. So please sign up if you could help in that area of things. And with that, I'm going to introduce our first guest speaker. So we're moving on to the next item of business. We have a report from CIT, and to give that report, we have Polly McClure. So I'll ask Polly to come to the microphone now. And there were some issues raised at the beginning of the school year about possibly moving campus emails over to Gmail, and so she'll be speaking in particular on that, but any other CIT updates that you may have. And she's passing around some worksheets, so please take one and pass it around. Much better.
Specific questions that I want to raise with you and give you now. So maybe if people could indicate to me, and I'll have Amy keep a list.
I'll keep a list.
And then we'll go in the order of the list. So we'll start with Andy. That was the first hand that fell. And Ed. Keep your hands up high, and we'll keep a list. But go ahead, Andy.
I have three issues concerned. The first, you mentioned that 70% of students come in and create with an email account and some for those accounts. Certainly coming in for me as a graduate, as a law student, I've got more out of that email account than I know what to do with. But the Cornell account is important for two reasons. First, because I get a couple of hundred emails a day that are specifically related to Cornell. account. I really prefer having it in a separate account. It's an easier way for me to organize my email that way. Also, there's a number of services or product providers out there that like to use a .edu email address to authenticate somebody as an actual member of the engagement community. And whether that's, you know, an accurate way of doing that, not necessarily, but it's out there. So I think it is valuable to have the Cornell.edu address. In regards to these outside providers, my three major concerns. First is the provider willing to offer a long-term commitment, which I'm sure is something you already investigated with them, obviously. You don't want a free service provider to call the plug one day and get installed without email. Second is Macintosh compatibility. I'm looking at this Windows Live brochure and I see that it interoperates with Windows Messenger and all these other Microsoft services. I don't own a Windows PC, and I think, you know, they have some document storage and sharing capability. And the last thing that I want as a student is to have the chance to say, okay, now go and get the syllabus from Windows Live, and I have to go to the computer lab to do that even though I have a computer at home. And my final issue, and I'll sit down, is iMessage. I know Google, at least for the regular Gmail, and Microsoft, according to the brochure, provide POP3 access, which, for those who aren't familiar, POP3 lets you download all of your mail to a specific machine. And IMAP keeps all of your mail folders on the server so that you can access your full folder structure and all your email pretty much anytime, anywhere. I am a dedicated IMAP user. I can handle webmail, but IMAP is how I prefer to access my mail, and if that would go away with the implementation of one of these services, I would see that.
Okay. Ed was the next person on my list, and just for time reasons, we're going to have to limit comments to about a minute to 2 minutes, okay? So keep that in mind. Okay, Leon?
Yeah. So here's the question about intellectual property protection. So for my PhD students, we are doing computational research. So mostly we communicate with professors about our current research through email. How would you like to pass the solution to like the Gmail or Microsoft? Research, and I feel that idea of modular research.
know that it's only good if it's a better, but like, if it's good, it's going to be a
Okay, Leon, I think we're going to have to move on to the next question because we have quite a list. So, Mario, you were next?
A lot of the questions and comments that I have were actually made, but except for this one, when I picked up the Cornell, I really didn't like the structure of the email address of the name, you know, your initials and the letters. Now I don't like it. Would university in creating this potential partnership be interested in keeping that structure? It would be, you know, these agencies or companies being able to do that. In other words, when you join them, will they still be able to use the initials of the letter as their email address?
Yes, they all say that they will use whatever name
Nighthawk?
Yeah, my question is probably the question for the company. We just have to think about what's the
And I'm going to have to cut off the questions. The last question I saw from the beginning, raising of hands, was over here, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name. So can you please stand and introduce yourself?
I'm Jeffel. I present physics. So this is my one, well, two questions actually related to what Andrew was saying. So the CIT, is it a position of... Is CIT not being able to provide a lot of gigabytes for email service? And also, if that is not an issue, then how would non-CIT users be affected by this? So non-CIT users being, like Andy mentioned it, how would non-CIT users interact with this system? So for instance, you needed to get something out of the work and you use Unix for Linux, so that means you have to use a CIT. And also, if, for instance, the CIT goes ahead and gets into this partnership, that probably creates a lot of free storage. Is that going to be basically moved over to the non-CIT users? So non-CIT users will surely have a Cornell address, and which is going to be run by the CIT. So there's the issue of storage, a lot of gigabytes. Though the CIT has a lot of storage for so if this goes ahead and the CIT gets its partnership, that is going to free up a lot of memory space for the CIT. So the current email service, which is controlled by the CIT, will be free. So all these things are going to be moved over to maybe Google or whatever,
Microsoft.
So that's going to create a lot of memory, I'm guessing. Right. Will this memory, how is it going to be allocated? What are you going to do with it?
I have no idea the details of how it will be allocated. There's no shortage of people and applications planned for this storage.
And And so, quick question then, non-PC users, how are you going to cope with this?
Well, Gmail, as an example, largely works through the browser. And so, I don't know what browser you use.
So, you're using Gmail?
But in my Mac, I choose to use Safari. And so, I would use Safari to access my email on Gmail.
So I'm thinking more in line of potentially most of my computing work, like Unix systems, which is kind of using like Telnet and FortiSystems. Systems. Okay, I'm sure probably it's probably everyone else. Last question then.
I think we're going to have to cut it off there. So we've already had a number of questions. If I could have the mic back. Okay, and Polly, you said your email is PAM28? Okay, so I know that we couldn't get to all of the questions, and I apologize for that. We do have a full agenda, and so we have to keep things going, but Polly sounds like she's more than willing to take on and answer your questions, so I encourage you all to do that if you had questions that didn't get addressed tonight, and I apologize for that. And this is something that we can follow up on later. It doesn't sound like it's happening overnight by any means, and so you know, if this is something we want to talk about again, we could perhaps invite Polly back, but we can discuss that later on or send suggestions to me. So thank you. Thank you all for coming. Okay. So the next item on the agenda, we have a couple of elections for assembly seats. And one of them is a carryover from the last meeting. It's a Masters of Engineering seats. We hold two seats on the assembly for master's students. The master's student seat that could go to any master's student was taken up last meeting, and that went to Mario. But we have a seat that's specific for Masters of Engineering students. And so at this time, if there are any nominations for that seat, I welcome you to nominate others or nominate yourself.
Self-nominations are a tradition.
Yes, self-nominations are a tradition. Okay. If we have no Masters of Engineering students nominated, then the seat becomes available to any master's student. Do we have any master's student who would like to run? Yes. Okay, great. Would you like to come up to the microphone and give us a minute or two introduction of you, of who you are?
Your name would also be helpful so that we can...
And because you want to represent those Masters of Engineering students,
yeah.
Well, right? Exactly.
Yeah, so
okay. Well, let's go ahead and keep nominations open, and then we'll ask for questions in a minute. So, do we have any other Mario nominations?
I wanted to nominate my colleague across the way. I think we ran the last time. With me, and I think he'd be,
well, if we've got a Master's of Engineering, we have to hold it for a Master's of Engineering. But we do have an at-large, so we'll move on to that, too. Thank you. Do we have any other nominations for the Master's of Engineering seat? If none, then I ask for a motion to close nominations. Do I have a second? Thank you. Okay, does anybody have any questions for Dennis? Okay, I have a motion for affirmation. Do I have a second? Tamara. Okay, so then that's all we do, correct?
Any dissent?
Oh, yes, any dissent? Seeing none, then congratulations, Dennis. Thanks for coming through for those MN students. We appreciate that.
And before you leave, make sure we get your email address so that we can be in communication with you.
I have him. He's already on my list.
Oh, good.
Yes. Okay. So now we'll move on to the second assembly seat. This is an at-large seat. We had someone who is not able to continue serving on the GPSA assembly, and so her position becomes at-large, which means it's open to anybody. So I will open up nominations for that seat now. Mario.
Again, I wanted to nominate, what's your name? Christian. Christian Grant for a seat a couple meetings ago, and I think she's really good.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Yes. Great. Say your name again, please.
Neil Lombard.
Neil Lombard. Can you spell that for all of us?
Yes. N-E-E-L-A-M-B-E-R.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Yes. Nighthawk. Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Amy?
I'll nominate Mark, because I know Mark, and he'd be a good addition if he'll accept it.
Okay, Mark. Do we have any other nominations?
Okay. Nomination.
Excellent. All right. So we'll start with the order of nominations. Kristen, if you want to come up and just say a minute or two. I know you did this the last time, but we've got some new people, so we'd love to hear from you again. Speak really closely to the mic.
Thanks, everybody, for coming here.
Okay, Neil Lombard, would you like to say a few words about yourself?
Yes, sir. Hi, I'm Neil Lombard. I have a good I'm going to invite everybody to join me.
And Mark?
I'm
Service Center. There is a student outreach program, student outreach across all different fields that help out with that, and also with undergraduate resources for all that. But yeah, and also just just an administration from that and help that other science program for the department. So it's a little obscure for science, but I think the idea is just sort of.
Okay, so at this time, if you have questions to ask of the candidates, please indicate up here, and Amy will keep a list. And please keep your questions to 30 seconds, and if you could keep your responses to about a minute, maybe two. And I will hold you to time, so I'll cut you off because we do have other things on the agenda. So, questions.
Katie. Oh, so the we should have probably been more clear on that. So the GPSA is two separate bodies. It's this one, the Council of Representatives, which has officially at least one representative from every field. And then we have the Assembly, which is the voting assembly, which passes things like the official byline funding recommendations, passes resolutions on recommendations for things like housing or healthcare, which we've seen in the past, and things along that line. Is that the description you were looking for?
Right. So this job that people are
asking for is to serve on another.
To serve on the voting assembly.
Yes. And they meet another. You have one more meeting a month at the same time, but in the barn. So the first meeting would be this coming Monday night.
Okay, do we have any questions of the candidate? But good question, Katie. Thank you.
Andy.
What, if any, GPSA or university committees are you currently serving on, and which ones might you be interested in taking on to have some additional depth?
Okay. Kristen, would you mind starting?
Part of the benefits committee, and obviously that's not required. The fact that a couple of dependents, a portion of the population, student body who has children, are not covered in insurance-wide university, and trying to get that agenda forward. So we have to make changes to that. So we're helping out, started helping out with the Black. I can't take any credit for helping out, but I'm in that committee and I'm looking forward to being an active member in that committee in terms of things that.
Okay. And Neil Lumber?
No, I'm not a part of any council. So I can right now GPS or not trust right position, whatever worker's responsibility.
Okay. And Mark? Do we have any other questions from the floor? Okay, seeing none, can I have a motion to close questioning?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, so I think everybody who is an assembly member or a council member, you should have a pink slip of paper. If you don't, please raise your hand and we'll get you. So this is for assembly and council members. And everybody has a sheet. Dennis does not have a slip. And for those of you who have your slip, we have two candidates now, Kristen and Neil Umber.
You can call me
Neil. Neil? All right, that makes it easier.
Hello, Mark.
And, okay, I think, Mark, you've withdrawn, is that correct? Okay, so we have two candidates now. We have Kristen. Please raise your hand when I say your name, just so people know. And Neil. Okay. And then I guess when you're done voting, just raise your hand with the ticket.
Yeah.
What did you?
Huh?
Okay. I'd rather we have to stay with the agenda.
Oh,
I mean that's protocol.
Okay.
So that's something we can follow up on in an email, I think.
Okay.
Okay. While the votes are being collected and tallied, I'd like to invite our next two speakers up to the mic. So we started last core meeting inviting the Byline-funded organizations to these meetings to introduce themselves, their organization, and how the activity fee that we fund them through affects their organization. So basically, the activity fee has various organizations, and those organizations automatically get money. Those are the Byline-funded organizations. There are other organizations that get funded through the Finance Commission, which is perhaps how a club that you might be involved in gets money, and you'll see that when they advertise their events, it'll say partially funded by the GPSA FC. The FC is one of those Byline-funded groups, as is EMS, and so I'd like to invite Alec and Brandon to come to the mic. And they're going to just be giving a few words about how the money from graduate student activity fee funds EMS and what they do for us as graduate students.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for having the opportunity to speak in front of you guys this afternoon. My name is Alec. I'm the director of student activity fee for EMS. And I'm going to be talking about Brandon and Nash, our finance officer, and Jay Burrell, who's a graduate student on our spot.
So again, if anybody has questions, please indicate up here and we'll make a list. Mario, can you use? Mario, go ahead and begin. And again, please keep your questions brief and that way we have more time for more.
You mentioned an increase, proposed increase from $1 to $1.30. What does that actually translate into total budget? So how much are we funding you now and how much is the total increase?
You can figure roughly 5,900 grad students.
So at 6,000 grad students, it's about $1,800 a year increase in budget from us.
Okay, and I think you have the next question.
So I'd like to know the percentage of usage for your service by undergrad, grad, and staff and employees, staff and faculty. Because I know your funding comes from undergrad and graduate students, but is that possible to get some funding also from the university for the faculty and staff usage?
It's a great question. The answer to it is that we do not track in terms of who's a graduate student and staff. That's not one of the questions normally asked. And it's something we'll keep track of. Those are only other types of older populations and then very young populations just in time. we are going to treat a very wide range of patients.
How about the second part of the question? Is there any funding possibility to get from faculty and staff?
We do have a priority of assembly on it. It's an ongoing problem because we do not have a system today on how it's really from the Cornell community. You can see anyone in Cornell. Obviously, this is great. There are other candidates who are here. But we are working to talk to these ways and discuss any problems on the front of the semester.
Anne?
So, are you fully funded by the GPSA and the ESSA?
Those are our two funding sources. We also get a very small amount from donations for special events that we have. Measures are what we use for like under the and so the conditions will benefit the usually less than that.
Okay, do we have any other questions? All right. Well, with that, I'd like to thank you all for coming. And so the next group I'd like to bring to the floor is the Slope Day Committee. And I believe we've got Liz and a few others here. And so at the last assembly meeting, there was a resolution passed to consider Slope Day for byline funding. In the past couple years, we've given Slope Day funds from the GPSA budget. This would give funds to Slope Day directly from our activity fee. Okay? So with that, I'll hand it over to Liz.
And then I think it's my fault.
2,000 people do this on this day every year. So I was caring to put out there, we're committed to doing this. We have new ideas this year, we want to put a DJ on the list to keep people entertained between acts of music. We think this will keep people from trying to leave the event, so we can most of them can, but we're making all people that decrease the drinks because we feel like there's constant activity on the list that keeps up the momentum of the event and to prevent all the lulls and the passing out. Keep it to keep the energy up of the event. We want to sell an initial float day t-shirt that will be available to everyone, and this is going to go on later in the event. We don't have any details about this for now. And we're definitely, like I said, going to promote float decks more, especially to the graduate students, because I had a table on the Puzzle, I don't know if you want, but there was a table on the Puzzle last year where we had students for the GPSA. And I read some of the graduate students who said that this was actually their favorite part of the event, because they actually saw more grad students on the Puzzle. As for our funding, which is the main reason why we're here, it takes about $250,000 to put on an explosive day event. And we are primarily funded by the SA, the gifts that the GPSA has given us, the Dean of Student Organization, and in the past, organizations such as Conference Commission, the Minority Fund Council, and in part of our ticket sales, have basically put on this event for us. We applied for byline funding under the pressure of the GPSA because we thought this was a good way to start a community relationship, because we feel like being a part of your community is going to be more beneficial to us than just coming here every year and saying, you know, we'd really like you to be helping us out a little bit. So we're in this process right now, and as Michelle said, we graciously bent the rules a little bit so that we did not get the full 15% signature, we got 12.5%. We are being allowed to complete our byline application, which is in the process right now. And with this increase of money, we are putting it towards better bands, putting it towards things a little bit bigger, increasing our promotion, DJs on the globe, and in a large part, paying back some of the debt to the university, since they put still additional $40,000 to this building. We don't have the money to pay them back for yet. So maybe just can talk a little bit about how specifically grad students can get more involved.
Okay, so one of our main goals, we just really want to get new grad in. It's kind of hard for us to reach out sometimes, but as far as like building them into an undergraduate community for the whole day, you really want to know what graduates think. So first of all, we asked GPSA to supply us with representatives to sit on our board, so we've been hearing the community and the programming board. We primarily would like the community to be built, because that's what we're going to talk about, like a lot of how to incorporate grad student ideas and then programming work with them. Also, as far as advertising goes, we made some contacts with Red Barn, and we can chat to the grad student and provide that ticket. Also, we're using advertising boards in the graduate area to try to get the word out. And Rob, do you think my boss would serve that into advertising?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
It's okay. GPSA info.
Okay. The GPSA info was served at like 900 emails to get word out. And one thing, as you can see from the data that's really important to us, is that a high percentage of grads said that they feel located primarily in undergraduate events and that they would attend more grad meetings. So that's going to be our big goal, like trying to figure out how we can get better from what things can be interesting for you and how we can incorporate the goals of the grad student population in this topic.
So if you have any questions?
Okay, we'll start making a list. Amy, can you keep a list and also ask your questions? Actually, I'll keep the list.
You keep the list while I ask.
So keep your hands raised for just a minute, please.
So first of all, I have been asking graduate students about this for a while, and I keep hearing both sides. There's a number of graduate students that say give you nothing, and there are a number of graduate students that say yes, give them some money. So that's just kind of a general thing. And secondly, I'm not real trusting of these numbers that are on the survey. It wasn't a closed survey. I could actually fill it out twice, and I tried it just to see if I could. So I know that there's at least two responses from me on there. So I'm not real trusting of this survey because it means that there could have been a few people that said, hey, I'm really in favor of this, and filled it out a bunch of times. And there are a few people that could have said, hey, I'm really not in favor of this, and filled it out a bunch of times.
And in an ideal world, those would balance out. But in reality, these numbers don't mean much to me personally, and I'm a numbers person. So. Right.
We worked with UMass and that's been sending this survey out for years, especially the undergraduates. So this is completely new to us. We've been trying to make it as legit as possible, and I'm definitely bringing that up with Tim ourselves. We personally don't have we don't see it until they hand us the data back. So that's really all we have to go on.
Right.
So I will definitely bring that up with him.
But that's a big concern, because to me these numbers don't mean anything when somebody can fill them out twice or three or four times. And one other thing is, how much are you requesting?
Our budget application says that we're requesting $7.50, and the reason for this was when we had the numbers last year, we felt that the only number that we could statistically support was the fraction of undergraduates who attend the event and how much they take in the event, and make that equal to the fraction of graduates who attend and how much they should pay. So, and that was based on.
Okay, so my last comment on that is I have a hard time giving you guys $7.50 for a one-day event when we give athletics $6 to get into all the athletic events free for all year, and those events go all year long. So, yeah, I know, and so that's the point I'm bringing up. I'm not saying zero, but I'm just saying that those are all things to consider. So. Okay. Andy?
Just as a follow-up to Amy's comment, I think there's also some respondent self-selection bias here, because I know I didn't fill it out immediately when I got it, and I also never got an email saying, hey, you haven't filled it out yet. Go fill it out.
There's actually two. It went out to everybody, actually. I'd filled it out once and then got the reminder email and was like, oh, let's try and see if I can do this again. So, just as a...
All right. Well, my larger concern, I went to Slovakia last year for the first time. Second year student, I missed it once, went to second year. And I had fun. I was with a few of my friends. But right at the end of the event, as soon as the very last headline performer ended, there was a math expert student who said, you know, you'll have that at the end of any event. What I was shocked by was when my friends and I elected to remain for a few minutes and not be part of the exodus, that we were approached by about half a dozen different uniformed officers and told very disrespectfully that we needed to get moving 2 minutes ago. And, you know, obviously the conduct of the individual officers is something to be taken up with their departments, but they were clearly acting under instructions to clear the slope now. And I find that problematic for a number of reasons. First, it's disrespectful. And second, when you're looking at an event that has historically had a whole lot of alcohol-related issues, taking a bunch of people who've been drinking for multiple straight hours and then telling them that they have to leave right now and go out into the community is going to increase your incidence of people going out on the street into the other neighborhood and causing trouble there. So I wonder if you can speak to that, if there's a reason that they try to
Yeah, I can. I think we've got a number of people saying this, and myself too.
Coming up, and that's definitely
Okay, Ed?
You actually answered my question as far as weighting the amount that you charge them. But I'm just curious then, how much are you get from the undergraduate?
$12.
And how much do you get from the
undergraduate? I think our number is 90.
Okay. You do? Okay, I'd still like to stand. So I want to just give some additional information on top of what they give. First of all, the slope they also give get money from university administration.
That's
and that, right, so that covers some of the graduate students because everybody contributes. So it's not entirely sponsored by undergrad. Plus, we also give money to concert commission, which give money indirectly give slope day. So we also contribute through that channel. Thirdly, it's about interpretation of the statistics. As Andy mentioned, there are some self-selection process during the filling out form process. Although someone like him went to the slope day but didn't fill out, we also have to take into account some people who are entirely not interested in the event are more likely to not fill it. So according to the statistics, about 700 plus graduate students actually went to the slope. If we assume a large percentage of people who didn't fill out didn't go, then the participation is not around 40%, but is around 10 to 20%. So I'm sure the funding policy committee will look further into that issue. I just want you to take caution when you interpret the statistics. Okay, and we have Yearn. Okay, what's gone? And one final question? I think we'll have to leave it there. Okay, I think we're going to have to limit the questions there. A couple of conclusions to make on both Liz and Mandy's presentation, but also from EMS. We will be reviewing all the byline-funded applications that have been coming forth. First, it goes through the Funding Policy Committee, and then it will be presented. Their recommendations will be presented to the Assembly, and the Assembly will be voting. I ask all the core members, if you have comments on the people you've heard from tonight, the people that you heard from last time, please come to the Assembly meetings. They're not just for Assembly members. Anybody can come to any of our meetings. They're open to all. So come to our, or send an email to one of your representatives. But, you know, if you have more comments, I apologize for having to cut people off if you still had questions tonight. But please, you know, the discussion is not over tonight. So. Okay. And with that, thank you, Liz and Mandy, for coming. Okay. I'd like to make the announcement of who won the at-large position for the assembly, and that goes to Kristen. So congratulations to you. And now we have one item left on the agenda. I realize that it's nearly 7 o'clock, and so if you have to leave, I understand that. Can I entertain a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes to give Mao Yi an opportunity to speak?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Mario, thank you. Okay, Mao, our student trustee, graduate student trustee, is here to speak to us. Perhaps you all have seen some of the press going out about the proposal that Mao is making about spousal and dependents' health insurance. And so we've welcomed him here to give us a brief update on his objectives and to get feedback from all of you as graduate students.
Okay. And first of all, thank you very much for your patience to give me an opportunity to speak. I think the best way to get feedback is to present to you what kind of presents the board of trustees. So from now on, again, that we are poor graduate students who only make $28 each year. We are some big guys earning about $20 million each year, like working in Golden Sachs or something. So, okay, so I will present. So now you're going to talk. Okay. I think most of you are familiar with President Gordon's new Marshall Plan to fight poverty and inequality globally. Today, I want to talk about how the university can start this process with our own community. The main topic will be the uninsured dependent students. There are at least 400 uninsured dependents of students at Cornell. Some estimate the number might be as high as 6 to 800. To say a human story with these numbers, I can tell you what happened to my neighbor's family only last week, actually, but on last year. My neighbor's spouse was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance with a broken arm. Surgery was required 1 week later at the hospital. They have no dependent health insurance. They now face medical bills that might supply a half of their annual salary. The reason, I suppose you may ask why they must find a medical bill. The reason is because of the cycle. So many families depend on the graduate student cycle. Purchasing health insurance for families should be 24% of that cycle. The impact is serious for them. In the words of one graduate student quoted in the narration last week, if I had known this difficulty health insurance situation was solved, it would have affected where I went to. For international students, the situation is more serious. Because the cycle is short of living expense for a couple, they have to choose the U.S. Immigration Authority that they have access to fill the gap for 3 years, about $10, $9,000 to $10,000 for this year. You may ask how they can find this money before. The answer is, there is even an underground benchmark among international students for this occurrence. So, now the big plan is the sustainability of the health insurance plan itself. Because of the high cost, low-risk people out of the plan. The absence of low-risk people raises the cost of the plan. As a matter, due to adverse selection, this is called adverse selection for us. The dependent, the insurance plan for dependents has a way to clear. We need to change the cost quickly to solve this problem as a matter. The problem of uninsured dependents is huge risk and liability for them. Here are some examples provided by insurance companies. Some students own few steps to doctors because of uninsured dependents. The uninsured population of Cornell community members are also frequent users of local free health services, like Ithaca Free Clinic. These separate community resources seniors living in Oregon and strengthen Cornell image in the community. People without health care may hear and may spread diseases within the community. Meningitis and TB disease are two examples. I have personally witnessed the class crisis in China and know the cost of delay care. I know one student in the Chinese university infected more than 10 people before he was sent to hospital. Finally, the whole university was shut down for 2 months. No students were allowed to leave the campus. No class, no traffic, and no social life. Here as well is the same problem. Uninsured dependents, it will be more difficult to control the
And my state speaker told us, we promised the leader that Ken, if he knew it, would record that. We don't. And here are some examples. Those living slides, I will present them. I'm only comparing those slides here. Here are examples from some other major research institutions which we are leading. Some of the universities provide much technical and scaled equipment support to the graduate students. They is currently provided by the We also need some solutions to help those underserved. At this stage, we need to ask for recognition of the issue. We need to actually support what we are doing. As a person who has worked on this problem for 1.5 years, I know it is not easy. However, the question is, should we be proactive in solving this issue? Or will we wait until our health crisis situation is merged? As a progressive institution, we should be a leader in the issue of fighting poverty worldwide. But such a commitment begins in our own community. If you would like, I could recommend for you to meet Cornell graduate students with the unusual families. They really deserve our attention and our help. We need to help. So in turn, they will have more chance and courage to help the rest of the world. Thank you.
Okay. We're making a list of people who have questions and comments. We'll start with Aaron. And Mouse, before you get started, I'm sorry to interrupt. Try to keep your answers to about a minute to 2 minutes so we can get to as many questions as possible.
Stanford is a leader that now that really have a problem because they have some, I've heard some stories about that. They have some offering. And also, I've heard stories that uninsured people buy some very cheap insurance or buy, but finally, the company disappears. I mean, for us, it's not easy. I should say it's not easy because I have been working on this for one and a half months. But my approach to that is we should at least give them some, right? Instead of nothing. Maybe we can let them maybe have a year, maybe for examination or whatever. But we should start to let them have something instead of nothing. Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, many people, if you know what, I don't think they really have to. I don't think they have to. But, I mean, almost every graduate student knows about insurance. If you don't know that, only because people don't care. It's the real problem.
Okay, next question, Patrick.
I was just curious. I'm sure there's policies in place where some dependents and partners are covered. What makes certain dependents or partners ineligible for grad students?
Oh, because we have not for extremely high school. So the question is, why are some uncovered?
Yeah, why are some covered, why are some not covered?
Oh, this is a really serious problem for Cornell. Now, it is added that two people have high risk of violence. People who think they have low risk will be all out of the bed. I mean, because the cost is very high. So that will raise the price. Gradually, this is already happening in Denver. So, I mean, so actually, I want to speak in hand is that it's not, according to current situation, it's not very possible to subsidize the state. Because all the costs in the first time already in that state. And people who are outside of the state are low risk people. That is my point.
Okay, next question. Shepard?
Yeah, so quick follow-up on John's question. So what would be the recommendation? Probably full coverage would be best, but then probably have some minimum, like how much do you...
It's working from that. I can talk now also for this situation. I mean, personally, I'm thinking that some shared cost. I mean, give some incentive for the low-risk people to buy it. And I also design that you're here, or permanent fear plan was proved not true or false. I mean, the not this fear plan, the fear plan I suggest that is not subtle or I mean, because mechanical design is very important, it will be very complex. Let's discuss after the meeting.
A quick one, like, what is a resistance? Where is it not feasible to Cornell? What's happening in Cornell? Where is the resistance coming from compared to Stanford Tech? So the resistance to get this full coverage, to get insurance for the spouse and family,
yeah.
Where is it coming from? Why is it Cornell? Oh, maybe there's not
I cannot see resistance. I think the most important reason is that we didn't speak louder before. I mean, like, we cannot plan because most of them are undergraduate degrees. I read them in corner, but it was, oh, there is such a problem. But if you don't need experience, that for me, to be frank, not, if it is not because of my wife, I can realize that too. I mean, although my wife is also a student, so I think currently the most important thing is recognition. I mean, and they will design some solutions. Let's say the whole community is not this problem. That's what I'm going to do now.
So I think just as a point of clarification, there is coverage.
Yeah, there is coverage.
But
yeah.
it's what Mao is bringing forth is a question of cost of that coverage. Okay.
Yeah. If you buy health insurance for spouse, that's 15% of your total. I mean,
about $3,200.
Okay. Our next question. I'm sorry. Can you introduce yourself before you state your question?
Yes, absolutely. My name is I have a question because you want to possibly point out to me that at least for the law school, I know that it's very rare to any student to be I imagine it's the same way as the other.
Yes.
For you probably mentioned last night, I'm going to tell you sometimes, especially
That's what I was saying. Actually, in my original type, but by the way, I mean, it was like a fine. I can see when they were talking with you. Actually, you made a very good point. Is that actually, there are also other ways to do that. I mean, just 1% accurate of them. They may be even more people. I think I will talk to the company. I mean, after the meeting, because they live in my condition. But my first point is, let us have we should have 100% participation in this community. Otherwise, the liability books are huge. I mean.
So,
I think our next question goes to Amy.
Okay, so Mal, since you brought this up, I've been doing some research on insurance and have quite a bit of a personal experience with insurance. And one thing is that Cornell faculty and staff do not get 100% coverage of their insurance for their spouses or their dependents. And also, many of the students that dependents that you're talking about are actually covered under health insurance via the New York
SCHIP
plan. And so, because graduate students make a level of income where they qualify for the state child health care, although most spouses do not. And then I was crunching numbers. And this is just information, and I think it's good to be heard out. The spousal plan is about $270 a month. About $270 a month. And I have colleagues who are self-employed here in Ithaca who don't have health insurance because they can't get health insurance for under $500 a month. And I talked to some university officials as well, and the plan that we have already is very much so subsidized by the university and by the company. And so...
Oh, you mean Cornell?
Yeah.
I know that.
The plan, yeah, I mean, and I think that, I mean, it'd be great in an ideal world if we all had health coverage with it being bundled into what we got. But what kind of numbers would this do, or what would this do to the numbers, and where would the money come from to cover this niche population of sorts in the Cornell community? Because I know some, like, international students that their income, they come here on visas where they can't work in the U.S., so they can't help pay for those costs. And I'm trying to figure out where to go on this because I think, I think health insurance coverage is important, and that's part of the reason I came to Cornell because my department paid for my health insurance.
Yeah.
But, you know,
there's a number of professional students that have to pay for their own, because Cornell requires that students have health insurance, so proof of insurance. And so I wonder what your response would be to that.
The first question is, if you go to the faculty website, you can see they have multiple plans to choose. And
right.
the lowest one, I think, is only $70, maybe 65, I think.
But one other comment that I would like to say is some people suggest that we go in with the faculty to do insurance. We actually can't do that. It's illegal for the university to give graduate students benefits out of the faculty benefit pool, faculty and staff benefit pool, because they were actually doing this for a while, about 10 years ago, and got in trouble for it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but just to say.
Yes. Yeah. So the first question is, for faculty issues is that, graduate students, need to spend more than even higher than faculty spend. All pocket spending. I think the range from like 60 to 200 or something. I cannot remember the number. That's the first question. The second one is, about the cost. As I said, it's probably not that costly. Since we have already subsidized this plan, there is maybe some better ways of subsidy. Currently, many students, especially international students, they don't know it's subsidized, right? So this leads to the local hesitation. So I think one way for the university is to encourage, to make that subsidy explicit. The South Care Insurance Plan is about 3,000 or something, right? But it's already subsidized. But this fact, we should let many graduates know. That's my suggestion. And then we can attract higher participation, and as low-risk people will move into that pool, it will actually reduce the cost. That's what I'm thinking in the short run, actually.
Okay, can we move on? We'll move on to, we have a couple more questions. Jörn?
Okay. Yeah, I have one question. I think what you're saying, I think there are two choices. Either the university can pay, or the plan gets better
selection
of
the
quotation
than the
cost of
itself.
I'm not
sure. Huh? Maybe that's me.
Yes. So if you want to overcome that, you need to have more people paying in the price.
Yes.
So, I think you will never, it seems to me that one will never be able to avoid that people make the choice of not wanting to pay. So if you pay already subsidized, then the reason for that would be to go out to people and tell them that it's really important to buy out. But then it's subsidized on the university, and you don't have to ask the university to pay more, to subsidize more. You just have to talk to people more and tell them that it's really important.
It's an important thing.
Provide more money. And I'm wondering, since I thought the whole issue was about this risk selection, how many more people do you need to subscribe to that plan to use the private money? Like, if those 40% that do not buy it now were in it, how much would the level of, how much would the premium go down per year if the university was not paying?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I have been thinking about that. Actually, because of federal law not allow us to get information from dependents, actually, it's very hard for us to discuss. So my suggestion to the administration is first day comprehensive first. Then that is an issue to graduate, then at all maybe university, because undergraduate also have dependents. Then you will give after the year of service at all we have a really need to pay. For example, that most students maybe suppose we have a 2-year plan, right? We have current plan and a low cost plan. Does most people prefer that to be a low value plan? Low cost plan, low cost of the value, right? Or high deductible plan. There are lots of mechanisms we should let students choose. Actually, that's the goal. But to provide an incentive for students who really fear it more, I think that our values need some of the money. We can have a strong of the people, those people who fear in that law, and those who read the that law can get to the wrong year to reduce dependent partners. Right? Because your question is really important. Because I think
What if the university has now perpetrated to start a study in this population before we can reach our conclusion? And I actually discussed with the New York State Care Foundation, a person like that. He's very interested in this study because he says if we can solve this problem with me, that saves us more for our peers to solve their problem. Some of us, we need to come back. They're very generous solutions, but not very much like it. So what we can do is to find a wide solution to this problem. But that begins with a comprehensive approach and also a two-tier publicity. Let everyone know this problem. So that's also the point why I want to get signature from this defendant. Now I can know a lot of us, but here not all of us. Thank you.
Okay, and I think we have one final question. We'll leave it with Mario.
Hi. So first I'd like to say I'm all for universal health coverage and universal education, but given that we don't have that, I wanted to couch my question in the following manner. I know that there's some kind of formula that admissions have, and that is how much a student needs in order to cover their time here. Okay? And that money is either a full ride or however, and the people that get the full ride, they get a stipend. Those that don't, those of us, I should say, that don't, have to borrow up to $40,000 a year to pay for school, or much more. So my question is, or just a suggestion also, is that in studying this, it would be interesting to find out if that equation includes the inclusion of that, the cost of paying for the spousal or dependent health care. So if I'm supposed to pay $40,000 a year to come here, does that equation include me potentially purchasing healthcare for the child? So in other words, I can borrow, and either I'm going to get the money from the school or I can borrow up to the amount that I need.
Okay. I think the question I just is this way. When I started, I started in graduate school. I calculated the degree can. That definitely does not include spouse care for insurance. That's definitely true. So I think that is some factor we consider. And also, your point is very important. I mean, some people say, okay, we subsidize somebody. But think about what's the most important financial policy for undergraduate students. That's me blind admission, right? I think something is vicious. I mean, that's actually not stipend, that's care. Suppose someone communicates with me, that will affect you. I mean, even me. I have experienced that. That's terrible, terrible. I mean, when by somebody in my alma mater who pays stuff. I mean, so I agree with you.
Okay. Thank you, Mao, for coming. Let's give Mao a round of applause. As a couple points of summary, the GPSA conducted a pay and benefits survey in 2005. Those results are posted on our website if you'd like to look at those. Secondly, the Graduate Community Initiative, as has been mentioned at various times during this meeting, is looking at various concerns that graduate students have. And so, of course, healthcare is one of those lingering things that always plagues us. So UU and I sit on the working group. And as Amy mentioned earlier, there are various committees within the GCI working group. If you're interested in serving on one of those and looking into some of these issues, be it healthcare or career services or something else, please talk to one of us. And finally, pick up your trash and your placards. Put the placards on the back table. This meeting is adjourned. Thanks for staying late.
Are you? Do you have to sign up here?
Yes, I have to.
I did not.
Right here.
Hey. I'm all right.
Hey.
I have a communications question.
How are you?
All right.
Do you need to serve on a committee?
You need biology.
Ongoing ethics.
Julia worked on last
year.
Yeah,
you want to serve on one?
Yeah, what's the book? How often do they meet?
They've met three times in the last 2 years. They only meet
one serious thing.
I remember. Right. And it's about a 2-week period when you schedule the meetings around Wednesday.
I haven't personally talked to Chris. I think
when all the committee members came,
we haven't been able to get it to go anywhere. So
are they doing specific
you or your committee?
They deal with specific cases
that are
because I think you can something like that or
yes, well,
complicated
you,
ones.
You can
specific ones that have been brought to the grad school.
Right, and my understanding is everybody else, all the other graduate
then again.
Are autism,
right, appealing that decision, so then it goes to a group of peers.
But unlike CCSA intro, I can't describe your
What's that?
I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
I thought you could unsubscribe, which I thought meant you could subscribe.
Yes.
I think
so.
I don't know about unsubscribing.
Email,
I know that when I want to subscribe, I have to get
Okay. I will talk to Tris about this because.
Yeah. That would be great.
I mean,
I would really enjoy having more people.
I'm ready for this tomorrow, but I will bring this up.
I think some of the issues.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, okay. Grad school.
From the academic school of all the new grad students every year, and I think she might have been operating under the assumption that that's all the grad and professors.
How's it going?
Okay.
So if we need to talk to somebody at the law school to make sure that she gets the list of our incoming students.
Yeah.
I can work on that. And I just need to know what she needs to be able to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. And you're under the impression that Johnson School and Best School are
campus planning, I know, has her name. Let me.
Okay.
Let me put your name on here.
Complaining about it.
Okay. Well, I'll put it in the general term for professional.
All right. Thank you.
And I will get a hold of them.
Hey, Dennis.
Thanks for coming. Okay. Thank you.
Next
okay.
Do, I
hey, and I know I didn't get back to you. I'm sorry.
No.
Also, I don't think the city was that many around here.
Oh. Well, that's why you guys are all coming.
And these are larger meetings.
Great.
Than so we
what are you looking for this?
5:30 to 7.
No.
And what's your question?
I'd love to add one of my students.
So my understanding is that this committee has said different programs, and then when the policies that come under review, they say that all of this program's not getting any enrollment, or
computer computers are intended
to provide something that new program.
Oh, you know computers better than I do.
That's what I know of the committee.
I mean, so communications interests you because there are other committees, but of course I'm going to
be
you make the initial appointment.
Yeah, I mean, I just probably need to
make an appointment with you at this point.
Okay. Do you have to be like a board member or
not? No, membership.
Okay.
If you know anybody in your department,
is there a list of the members? You should be on.
Like
did you get the reminder email for tonight?
You know, there's
then you're on. That's the only one that there is. So, core assembly,
that's how I
feel. One, CKSA data members, and openly got my
I need to go check so many questions.
You should sign up. Sounds good. Thank you.
Sorry about screwing up the schedule.
That's okay. No,
I don't. When I'm doing that experiment, I don't.
No, I totally understand because, I mean, Amy and I have these talks because we're both science people and we know how experiments go. It's just kind of, this week is, for me, all about meetings. I have Thursday to do research and every other day this week is sort of meeting. Yeah, because the Board of Trustees is coming this weekend, and so Friday, Saturday, it's booked there, and then Wednesday, other things, and today, it's just sort of stuff.
Is it right now just the three of us?
Right now, but it looks like Dennis might be getting on.
What computer? What do you mean, computers?
Well, so there have been some people saying they'd like to see a jazzier GPSA info. Not just text, but something with HTML. And that's not, it's probably something I could.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.